Good morning. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Monday Morning After Show. It's just begun. It's 7:06 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right now. Gonna let you know what we're gonna air for today. There's, of course, Sabrina's Secret Stash, which is coming up after 7:15. And, of course, Zeke's Alternate Arts Review. Or interview.
No, today is just a rant.
Or a rant. I always like the surprise and the suspense that...
Sometimes it can be a rave. Sometimes it could be a diatribe. Sometimes it can be just a ramble.
I think it might just be a conversation, too. And a discussion.
Yes, I've had that as well. If we get you and Margo and Sabrina involved, then it goes from a rant into a conversation.
So we'll be doing that this first hour. So talking about skyscrapers, as what we were talking about before.
We were listening to skyscrapers. We were listening to skyscrapers, I think.
We were also talking about some skyscrapers were mentioned in the Julian Plenty stash of Sabrina. Uh-huh. See, there's a theme going on here. And it's all subconscious, playing into what you're going to talk to us
about. Yeah, I'm going to talk about a Montreal skyscraper.
That's right.
No, it's Place Ville-Marie. It was the sort of thing where... What, today is Monday, so it must have been last Friday or something like that, that I was wandering around downtown aimlessly, sort of just having fun, sort of twiddling my thumbs, gazing at my navel, and then I suddenly looked up, and there was Place Ville-Marie. And Place Ville-Marie is celebrating, I don't know, something like its 40th anniversary or something like that. And as a consequence, they have this quote-unquote photo exhibit called Quand Montréal se lèvera, which they badly translated into English as Montreal Rises Up, which I think really should have been better translated as Montreal Grows Up. And yeah, I'm getting annoyed slightly with the quality of certain translations into English, but that's a whole nother rant. Anyhow, the first time I saw it, which was back when it sort of opened and stuff like that, I was poking my nose around Place Ville-Marie looking, okay, so where are the pictures? I couldn't find the pictures for love or money. This time, they sort of just jumped up and bit me in the ass because it was the sort of thing I was going from Central Station because there was a really, really nice mural that's in Central Station. And then for a whole nother project, I'm working on checking out stuff like that. And then on the east side of Central Station, there is a small tunnel that goes directly to Place Ville-Marie that is, to my mind, much nicer because very, very few people use it. And normally the way you get from Central Station to Place Ville-Marie is hanging out on the west end, and you just follow everybody through the shopping concourse, and you get inundated by sort of buy this, smell this, eat this, give me money. The other side doesn't have any of that. It actually has a nice dry cleaner who says they will patch your jeans and stuff like that. Then there is this sort of print shop that sort of says why, but it doesn't do any screaming. And then there's this really nice corridor. And then suddenly, bam, in the corridor are a whack of pictures from like 1962, 1959, 1961, so on, about the whole planning of Place Ville-Marie. And they have pictures of the maquettes, and they have pictures of Queen Elizabeth looking very seriously at the maquettes and everything like that, because she was here in 1959 so as to inaugurate the St. Lawrence Seaway, and at the time they were planning Place Ville-Marie. And so, yes, she's looking pretty fetching, and then pretty also at the very seriously at the maquette for Place Ville-Marie. And I said, wow, I think I found the pictures, because I'd been looking for them before. And so I wandered around, and that whole era, it's sort of like... Yeah, there's a certain sense of nice nostalgia to it. It's opposed to looking through the past in rose-colored glasses. It's sort of like looking through the past in sort of yellow-tinted glasses. Everything seems bright and shiny and everything like that. And so you go through there, and it takes like 17 times longer to get through that tunnel than it would if they just had your normal ads and everything like that. And then suddenly I'm feeling all sorts of committed to say, I'm going to go find these pictures. And I finally actually look at the pamphlet that they have. They printed up millions of copies of these pamphlets. They really were not terribly ecologically correct, but they said if they're going to promote stuff, they got to print up pamphlets. So they printed up some pamphlets, and I suddenly realized, oh yeah, in the food court, there are these sort of glassed enclosed things where it used to be the stairs going up to the concourse, but then they decided they were going to close it in because it gets cold in the winter. And then in these sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, the ring around where sort of that sort of piece of concrete is that the concourse is, but you can still see from the inside, they did some sticky stuff. They use fancy-ass technology so as to then reprint these pictures from the 60s about the history of Place Ville-Marie all around them, and they are sort of thematically arranged, but then each one is more cheerful and more happy than the next. It's the sort of thing where you have like, I don't know, 75 gazillion guys all doing handstands on the concourse of Place Ville-Marie. Or you have a picture of, Miss Winter 1966, who is holding her ankle on skates while she was skating around in the skating rink there. And I just was sort of wandering around, head in the clouds, because you got to definitely look up to see it and so on. But it's absolutely phenomenal and wonderful. And plus, on top of it, since it is in a shopping center where everybody is sort of dead set on saying, I want my Mr. Sub, I want my Van Hoot Cup, I want my, Tiki Garden General Tower, or whatever it is. I want that. Nobody else is paying attention to it, and it's always my favorite way to go look at stuff is when you're paying attention, is if nobody else is looking at it, it's wicked cool. If everybody else is looking at it, then it's like no fun. You can't, like, everybody's pointing out, check that, check that, check that. And yeah, it's like, no, not at all. You can't see it at all. However, so yes, it's up until I think the end of October. You got the website up there?
30th of October.
Yeah, the website is not helpful at all, other than it sort of flashes up a couple of pictures and you sort of get a sense of it. But yeah, it's tons and tons of fun. And it's, if you have, I don't know, about half an hour to kill while you're downtown and you don't feel like shopping, this is a perfect way to do something about it.
I didn't even hear about this until you brought it up. I wouldn't have even known. I went there recently. I didn't even see anything. Well, yeah. So
When's the last time you looked up when you were at Place Ville-Marie?
You do that only, I guess, when you're going up the stairs, I guess.
Okay.
You
don't really
pay it. I mean, whenever I'm going through the train station anyway, that's why I'm bringing that up. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. They even have this. So can you explain where exactly it is?
Okay. It's got six different parts, okay? In the corridor, in the hallway, in the tunnel that goes from Central Station to Place Ville-Marie on the east side of Central Station.
It's the east side, so east that's side. What you have to remember.
Yeah, so it's the sort of thing where if you go into Central Station from La Gauchetière, the La Gauchetière, there's the McDonald's. Okay. Don't go to the McDonald's. McDonald's is horrible. Then there is, you keep going to the right, and there's sort of like a Depenner there. Don't go to the Depenner. Everything is overpriced. They're trying to catch the tourists in. Stay to the right, though. It's there on your left. You're going to see everybody lining up for the train to go to Toronto.
Yes.
Then you're going to have, on your left, you're going to have everybody hanging out waiting to go to Vaudreuil and Hudson and Dorion and all the suburbs. You don't want to go to the suburbs either. You go the other way. To the right, you pass by the Depenner, and then you hang a sort of, you turn, and the only way you can go is if you don't go into the Depenner, you got to go up the tunnel. And you go up the tunnel, and there's,
there are many hallways in that area. A lot of passageways, I've noticed.
How about this?
I get it, though. I think I know where you're talking
about. If you want to, let me know when you want to go. I will take you by the hand, I will show you.
Zeke, we should have Zeke tours.
I'm working on it.
Wow.
However, that's not the end of it. So you got to basically, because yes, they're in the hallway, and then once you're in Place Ville-Marie, in the food court, you look up at the glass bubbles.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. That's pretty much it. There's one other one that's sort of like almost like Sabrina's Secret Stash. It's really, really hidden. But once you've done the glass bubbles in the corridor, you probably do have your way set around so you can figure it out. Or if you want S. Sabrina, I'm certain she can show you it. No problem.
The hidden gems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hidden gems. Oh.
However, there's other cool stuff, or we're losing other cool stuff, because that was the other thing. I'm sort of doing a split thing. We have the very nice stuff, and while it's all fine and dandy for me to be cheery and so on, it is a rainy, gray Monday, and so at which point you got to get your hate on, and I got my hate on big time.
Oh, my gosh.
For what? And, you know, I actually thought it was going to be for Place Ville-Marie, so I'm surprised it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Place Ville-Marie is the one last thing about Place Ville-Marie that I found wicked cool is you realize there was so much testosterone involved in building it that the CIBC building, which is down at the corner of Peel, and Rennie Levesque, they only went up 43 stories. And Place Ville-Marie in the initial planning was supposed to be 44, and then I.M. Pace said, no, I got to be bigger. So they actually added three stories to it way after every drawing had been done.
That's
like Queen Elizabeth had seen the maquettes for only 44 stories, but I.M. Pace said, no, we are going higher. I need to be biggest. And I think it misses the top of the mountain by about, like, I don't know, 6 inches or something. They almost blew the entire zoning regulation, and I don't know what would happen. Then they would have had to destroy it or something. Oh. But to get my hate on now, get my blood boiling and stuff like that, all that testosterone and stuff like that. I was walking down Saint Laurent, and what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago or something like that, and I suddenly looked up and saw the sign for the Maine, you know, the smoked meat place? Toast. It's gone. Not there anymore. that 75-foot Reds thing where you had the big M and the big A and the big I and the big N that were like 50,000 feet high, looking like they were sort of like supposed to be on Superman's chest or something like that. Disappeared. Gone. History. And I was saying,
Wait, why?
How am I going to get more words in? You can wait, but think. When was the last time you were there? And did you look up and did you see it?
Are you talking about Mike?
No, Maine. The Maine.
Oh,
the
Maine.
Smoked meat place.
Oh.
Peter Vivaro's place. Peter Vivaro Sr., who makes a way better smoked meat than they make across the street at that other place, which I'm not going to talk. No, not Dunn's. Not Dunn's. The Maine.
Oh, nice.
And I just was flabbergasted. I walked right in and said, so when did you guys lose the sign? And they said, like, 2 weeks ago. And I couldn't believe how blind I was that I'd been walking. Because I, like, live right there. But it is the sort of thing. I walk on that side of the street so that I can sort of look in and say, oh, do I want to smoke meat? No, I don't want to smoke meat. Man, do I want to smoke meat? Maybe I should have, like, a steak or something like that. And so I never really look at the sign because also I know where it is. And so the sign really is superfluous for me. I can close my eyes and I can probably sort of grope in something and eventually get there. But I'd missed it for 2 weeks. And I'm saying, this is not good, because there's this wonderful, wonderful picture that you can go back and find on, what is it, Spacing Montreal, where they do this Montreal then and now of St. Hubert, where it was St. Hubert in like 1962, back when you were looking at everything in Montreal through yellow-colored glasses. And every single store has a 7,000-foot neon sign sort of splashing. That's sort of splashing stuff like that.
Oh.
And you say, wow, that looks pretty damn cool. Montreal's Times Square. And then you realize probably along Saint-Laurent, along St. Catherine, along Notre Dame, along every single street, there were like neon signs all over the place. And then suddenly, I don't know what it is, but neon got really, really expensive. And so all of these signs went to hell in a handbasket. And they started falling apart and falling to pieces. And then suddenly, I don't know what it is, they changed the zoning regulations. And you cannot replace those signs. You either have to get them fixed as is. And so you have, what is it, Miss Villeray, which is up in Villeray. And the only reason these sort of hipster, uber trendy guys who run Billy Coon and O Patro Vice and Plan B, the only reason they bought it was because of its sign.
Yeah.
And they turned it into a hipster bar up way up in Villeray. And it's actually not a half bad bar, but they got a wicked cool sign. But then down in Old Montreal, you have Da Franco, who had another one of these 75 tall things that is worthy of the Jolly Green Giant or something like that. And because Da Franco was just sort of like a lousy sort of pasta place, they couldn't afford to fix the sign, and at which point they tore it down. And the thing is tiny. The replacement is tiny. Mm-hmm. It's like the size of my hand, and there's like a spotlight, and it's wood, and you're saying, what the hey, this is not what you're supposed to do. And then there is also Casa Minhota. Casa Minhota on Salon had, the most amazing sign, because it was the sort of thing where it had sort of one of those chaser lights where you had the light bulbs all around it and so on. And over the years, every single light bulb fixture had busted. So it wasn't that the light bulbs had busted, but the fixtures themselves had busted to the point that there was one left, and it just go flash, flash, flash. And it was the sort of thing, I'd be sitting across the street at Copacabana sort of drinking my beer, feeling sort of pathetic and stuff like that, and there was this sign going flash, flash, flash. And I thought it was wonderful. I'm being pathetic. The sign's being pathetic. Everybody's
being
pathetic
artistic.
Together. It's wonderful
very
and so on.
Very symbolic, kind of.
Uh-huh.
It's
It's sort of just...
unintentionally.
You have an emotional connection to the sign. And, and then Casa Minhota went and changed their sign. I guess they decided they didn't want to be pathetic. That's their right. But they did something that sort of looked terribly, terribly 1998 and stuff like that. And it's going to be dated. It's already dated, even though they put it up only 2 years ago. And I really want to go back to, like, all those neon signs. It's the neon is wicked cool and wonderful. And so, yes, I think we should all, unfortunately, I can't vote here because I'm not a citizen. However, all of you who can vote, please talk. There's going to be a local election coming up in November. I think we should go about changing the zoning regulations so that you can put lots of neon and stuff like that back up. And then you get some really cool, like Montreal is known as a design city. Imagine you let some of those designers loose on some of those neon signs and you get like Saint-Laurent, you get St. Catherine going up like gangbusters. Better than the Grand Prix.
But some people say that could be light pollution.
Light pollution.
Be wicked cool.
Oh,
light, but there already is tons of light pollution. You see the new, like, street lamps they stick up? Mm-hmm. So they blind you if you look at them. Plus, they they have sound and stuff like that. They make you deaf.
As long as you have something that's a... As Margo just mentioned, or something that's artistic as well, little bit more artistic than just, paint.
No, I want bright flashing
neon. Well, on that, we're going to go to Demoxnam headlines.
I was just getting started.
I know you were. You can save it for the second hour if we have time. And so let's listen in to Demoxnam headlines, because I think it just began. So you're listening to the Monday Morning After Show on CKUT 90.3 FM.